Today we begin Be'ezer Hashem Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Abba Rosh Hashanah Heim. The Mishnah begins to discuss different Rosh Hashanah. We're used to thinking of Rosh Hashanah only as the first day of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah. But as we will learn in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, there are many other dates in the calendar that are considered a Rosh Hashanah. The obvious question everybody learning Daf Yomi is thinking about is, why is Rosh Hashanah after Yuma and after Sukkah? Shouldn't Rosh Hashanah be at the beginning, before Yuma and Sukkah? And in general, there's a question. We said a moment ago that Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Tishrei. So, as we will learn and have learned, there's a machlokes, when the world was created. Machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua. One man the Amos says, the Tishrei Nivra Olam, the world was created in Tishrei. The other man the Amos says, the Nissan Nivra Olam, the world was created in Nissan. So if we hold that the world was created in Tishrei, we could understand why we celebrate Rosh Hashanah on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. We say, Zeh HaYoyim, Tchilas Masachah, this was the day that Kadosh Baruch Hu began the world. So that's why Rosh Hashanah should be Alef Tishrei. But if the world was created in Nisan, why do we celebrate Rosh Hashanah on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei? So the Ran discusses the Shaila, and the Kedusha Slavi expounds on that Ran. He says what happened was, as we know, Klal Yisrael did the Chayit Ha'egel. They did the Aveir of the Egel. And when they did the Aveir of the Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu went back, broke the Luchos, went back up to Har Sinai, and ultimately on Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us. Yom HaShem, Solachti Kedvorecho. So what happened was, they explain, on Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us. Yom Kippur came first. When Klal Yisrael did the Aveir of the Egel, the Anani HaKavod that enveloped Klal Yisrael, they lost. Now that they did Tshuva, on Tev Vav Tishrei, those Anani HaKavod came back. We celebrate Sukkot, Zeicher for those Anani HaKavod. The next year, 10 days before Yom Kippur, in preparation for Yom Kippur, they had the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and that's why they started celebrating Rosh Hashanah. So actually, we follow a chronological order. First we had Yom Kippur, Yuma, then we had Sukkah with Anani HaKavod coming back, and only next year did we have Rosh Hashanah. That's why Rosh Hashanah comes after Yuma and Sukkah. So the Mishnah begins, Abba Rosh Hashanah Heim, therefore Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos points out that we find in Shas a discrepancy. Sometimes it says, when the Mishnah gives us a list, it says, Abba Rosh Hashanah Hein, the word Hein. And sometimes, particularly, the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, Masechet Baba Kamma, which mentions Arba Ovis Mezikin, the four types of Mezikin, and there it doesn't say Hein. So Tosfos wants to know, is there any rhyme and reason when we say, when the Mishnah says Hein and when it doesn't? So Tosfos says, if the point of the Mishnah is just to teach us this list, then we say the word Hein. But if the point of the Mishnah is not to teach us the list, but rather to teach us something that we extrapolate from the list. If you remember the Mishnah Masechet Baba Kamma, Lo Rizeh Kerezeh, the Mishnah starts comparing and distinguishing these different types of Mezikin, then we don't use the word Hein. The Ritva says that when something is well known, we don't use the word Hein. The Mishnah Baba Kamma, everybody knows, Hashav, Vabav, Amav, Vaheva, are Mezikin, so the Mishnah doesn't have to use the word Hein. Our Mishnah, which is going to mention quite a number of Rosh Hashanah, which may not be that familiar, unless we learned the Daf Yomi 7 years ago, so then we have to use the word Hein. So the first thing that's mentioned is Ve'echa B'Nissan. Rosh Chodesh Nissan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim. It's the Rosh Hashanah for Malachim, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, Sunim Mitzvah Hashem, that every Rosh Chodesh Nissan makes no difference how long the king has been king or not. Every Jewish king on Rosh Chodesh Nissan starts counting a new year. And the Gemara will explain why, what, and when soon. Why do we speak first about Rosh Chodesh Nissan if we're learning Masechet Rosh Hashanah, which the main part of our Masechet is going to be discussing Rosh Hashanah and Tekiyah Shofar? Shouldn't we start with Rosh Chodesh Tisrei? So the Sifsei Chacham gives three reasons. The first two reasons, he says, because the Torah speaks about Rosh Chodesh Nissan. HaChodesh HaZalachem, Rosh Chodashim, Rishim Hu Lachem, L'chach HaShanah. So the Torah speaks about Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So that's why the Mishnah speaks about Rosh Chodesh Nissan first. Another answer given is that Rosh Chodesh Nisan represents the month where Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim. So since we left Mitzrayim in that month, it's such a special month, it was the most monumental event that happened in the history of Klal Yisrael, so we speak about Nisan first. Rashi makes an interesting point. Why are we so interested, says Rashi, in having one date where we always say this is the date when it's a new year for kings, monarchy? So Rashi says because of Shalom Malchus. That's how we keep the Malchus, they won't be concerned, the kings won't come to be jealous one of the other, everything will be nice and quiet. As Tosfos, the Rashi, the concept of Shalom Malchus is applicable by the Umas HaOlam. There we have to be concerned about politics and envy and jealousy. But the date of Rosh Chodesh Nisan is a date that's relevant only to Malchus Yisrael. Because as we're going to learn in tomorrow's shiur, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is the date that's used for Malchus Umas HaOlam. And by Malchus Yisrael, there is no concept of Shalom Malchus. And Tosfos goes on to say that the only time there's a consideration of Shalom Malchus by Umas HaOlam, where we have to be concerned about the date, to include the date of the non-Jewish monarchy, is by a get. And the way the Mefarshim explained Tosfos, so the Sharm Tzion Baloch explains it this way, he says, since a get is such a powerful document, it serves to break a marriage. And he says, furthermore, the get ends with three very powerful words, Kedas Moshe Yisrael. Usually a shtar ends just with the words, Hakel Shor V'Kayim. So since it's such a powerful document, we are concerned how the Goyim will react to such a shtar. And that's why, if we won't put in their date, and that's why we have to put in the Goyish date. All other shtaris, according to Tosfos, we don't have to put in the Goyish date, and has nothing to do with Shalom Malchus. Doruch Haner, in answer to Tosfos' question, says that Rashi says that Tosfos' position that Shalom Malchus only applies by Malchi Umas HaOlam, it doesn't apply by Malchi Yisrael, he doesn't agree. He says it applies by Jewish kings too, they're also human. Then the Pnei Yeshua says a different teretz. Pnei Yeshua says a beautiful teretz. He says, Shalom Malchus, Rashi agrees that Tosfos does not apply to Jewish kings. But once the Umas HaOlam, says the Pnei Yeshua according to Rashi, see that we put dates according to the years of the Jewish monarchy, they get jealous. And they say, why are you only mentioning your years and not our years? So therefore, because of that, there's a concept of Shalom Malchus, but the concept of Shalom Malchus began by the Jewish monarchy, which ultimately led us to have this concern of Shalom Malchus. The Sifsei Chacham, after now introducing the Rashi's concept, says now we have another reason why the Masechta began with Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim. Here we see, as we just finished explaining, how concerned we have to be about the covet of just mortal kings, and how they could get upset if we don't give them the proper respect. That is the best introduction, he says, to learning Masechta Rosh Hashanah. If we see how much Derech Eretz and covet you have to give to Melech Bas V'Dam, isn't that a lesson to us? Certainly, how much covet we have to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is really the lesson of Rosh Hashanah, Imru Lufonai Malchiyos, Kedesh Atam Luchuni Aleichem. Oh, we'll get there. Ulur Golem, very good question. We're going to get there. Ulur Golem, what does Ulur Golem mean? So we actually learned this Gemara Masech Tabeya. There's a loch about Ta'achar. If somebody donates something, he has to donate it, he has to pay. And Rav Shimon, as we learned in Masech Tabeya, says he has three regalim to pay his debt, but they have to be in a specific order. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkos. So ostensibly, according to Rav Shimon, remember saying this in Masech Tabeya, if you were menada something before Shavuot, you can have 5 yom time to pay it up, because you have Shavuos and Sukkos, and then the count only begins Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. So the first question that's asked is, so he's saying here that for regalim means when the Baal Ta'achar count begins. It doesn't begin in Rosh Chodesh, it begins on Pesach. So why does it say Rosh Chodesh Nisan? So Mefarshim say, that also Gemara we learned to Masechta Be'ah, maybe that's a way to connect the two Masechtas, that Nadar v'Nadavis, regular kabbanis that one is obligated to bring, ain't in craving b'yontif, you can't bring them on yontif. So if somebody wanted to fulfill his obligation, when does he bring it? He has to bring it before Yontif. Yontif, he can't bring it. So that's why the Mishnah mentions Rosh Chodesh Nissan, not Pesach. So now we have the question that Rabbi Gerelich asked. Regalim, we just finished saying, is a deraisa, Bal Tachar. Melachim is a covered Melachim. It's a Rabbonic Takana. So shouldn't we mention Regalim first? But according to the answer we just gave, it's very Geschmack. Regalim really only begins Pesach. Melachim is really Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So the Mishnah mentions Melachim before Regalim. Another teretz that I saw is that this din that Rav Shimon says of Regalim, Bal Ta'achar being in this sequence, not everybody agrees to, as we will learn in the Gemara. The din that we follow Rosh Chodesh Nissan for Melachim, there's no machlokes. So first the Mishnah mentions something that's not disputed, Melachim, even though it's only the Rabbanim. Then the Mishnah mentions Regalim, which even though it's a deraisa, is not something that everybody agrees to. Bechad the Elul, the first day of Elul, is Rosh Hashanah L'masa Behema. We know that every animal, we have, as a person has animals, he has to take them together. Every tenth animal, he has to have them go through a door, and he has to label the tenth animal, brand it, and it's brought as a carbon. You can't take animals from this year to next year. So what's the cutoff date? So Rebbe Elazar holds the cutoff date is Rosh Chodesh. The Tanakhama holds it's Rosh Chodesh Elul. Rebbe Elazar of Shimon Oimrim, the cutoff date is Becha B'Tishrei. You can't take from 1 year to the next year. There's a very famous discussion here based on the Rambam. The Gemara will ask, why doesn't our Mishnah mention something that we learned already? The Rosh Chodesh Nissan should be Rosh Hashanah L'Shkolim. We know they started using the new Shkolim, Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Why doesn't our Mishnah mention it? So the Mishnah, the Gemara answers, because sometimes you could use last year's shekel the next year. We learned a lot about that in Masechet Shkolim. The Rambam says that b'di'evid, you could take last year's behemoth and this year's behemoth and combine them. So if according to Rambam, you could combine 2 years' behemoth, and our Mishnah is never going to speak about such a situation, so why does the Mishnah mention Masa behemoth and not Shkolim? So one teretz I saw is that there's a difference between Shkolim and Maisa Behema. By Maisa Behema, although the Rambam says you could combine 2 years, it's always only acceptable by the Evid. By Shkolim, sometimes L'chatchila, we learned cases in the Gemara where they didn't have the Shkolim, they didn't arrive. L'chatchila you could rely on Lias Shkolim, so they're not identical. Another teretz, that even according to the Rambam that you can combine 2 years Behemas, that means that it'll have the status of Maisa Behema, but you cannot bring that animal to the Mizbeach. You can't treat it like chulin, but the Rambam will agree that's not really a carbon like Maisa Behema usually is. And another teretz I saw is, when does the Rambam hold you could combine 2 years animals? Interesting teretz. That let's say this year I have 10 animals, and next year I have 10 animals. So the halach is I should keep those 10 animals, each group separate. Says the Rambam, that b'di'evad, if I combined all 20, then it's acceptable. But let's say this year I only had 5 animals. And next year I only have 5 animals. There even the Rambam will agree you can't combine them. So that's why it's different than Shkolim, where sometimes they can be combined by Maisa Behem, there are situations they, even the Rambam will agree they can never be combined. Bechab Tishrei, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, is Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim, something we spoke about before. That's what we consider Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara will discuss this more. Ul Shmitim, we know that every 7th year is the Shemitah year. When does the Shemitah year begin? On Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Mefarshim ask that the halacha is that we have to have Tosfos Shvius, that we already have to stop working in the fields before Shemitah. So why does the Gemara say, why does Mishnah say Rosh Chodesh Tishrei? So I saw two answers. First of all, that this halacha, that you have to have Tosfos Shvius, not everybody agrees is a Chiv Deraisa. And another teretz is that even if you hold it's a Chiv Deraisa, it's not a Chiv Deraisa for all malachas. For example, if you're cutting off last year's fruit, even during the time of Tosfos Shvius, it's permissible. It's only like plowing and preparing the field for next year that's prohibited in Tosfos Shvius. So that's why the Mishnah doesn't just mention Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. L'yovelus, we know that every 50th year has to be treated as yovel. Things return back to their owners. Avodim go free. And again, the Mefarshim ask, the halach is that Avodim only go free on Yom Kippur, when they blow the shofar, Matzah Yom Kippur. Here we're saying it's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So I saw two answers to that question too. Even though the Avodim actually only go home on Matzah Yom Kippur, they stop working on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, on Rosh Hashanah. And not Teretz says Amish is not referring to the halacha of avadim. It's halacha that just like in the Shemitah you're not allowed to work the field, in the Yovel year you're not allowed to work the field. When does Yovel begin? On Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. In the Tia, we know there's a halacha that a tree during its first 3 years is Arla. When is the tree considered the 1 year past? Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. And we will learn a Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara. That doesn't mean if you plant a tree on Erev Rosh Hashanah and then Rosh Hashanah is ready year one. You have to give it a chance to take root. Uli Rokos, to take Meiser from vegetables. So again, like we learned by the Behema, you can't take Meiser from 1 year's vegetables on next year's vegetables. What is the cutoff date? Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Another ramification is the Halach is like this. We have a 7 year cycle, the 7th year of Shemitah, and then you have 6 previous years. The first 2 years, there's a chiv to give Meiser Oni, Meiser Sheni, and the third year you give Meiser Oni. The fourth and fifth year again we give Meiser Sheni, sixth year you give Meiser Oni. So we need to know, is it a Meiser Oni year, or is it a Meiser Sheni year? Bech b'shvat, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Rosh Hashanah l'ilon. Which means that any tree that blossomed before Rosh Chodesh Shvat according to Beis Shammai is considered last year's tree, and after Rosh Chodesh Shvat is considered the next year's tree. Kedivrei Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel say, B'chamisha Asabai. Mefarshim ask, there's a very interesting terminology used in our Mishnah, which we usually don't find. The Mishnah doesn't say Divrei Beis Shammai, it says Kid Divrei Beis Shammai. What does it say? The Kid Divrei. It should have said Divrei Beis Shammai. So the Gra says a very interesting teretz. It says the Gemara says the Gra will ask a question that we find many other dates in the Jewish calendar are Rosh Hashanah. Why are they not mentioned in the Mishnah? So the Gemara answers, our Mishnah only mentions dates that are on the first of the month. It says the Gemara, Kedivrei Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai, we have 4 dates that belong in the Mishnah. Why? Because Rosh Hashanah le'ilan is the first of the month. That only works Kedivrei Beis Shammai. It only works according to Beis Shammai. It doesn't work according to Beis Hillel. So the Mishnah, the Gemara says, the Mishnah is saying, we're going Kedivrei Beis Shammai. Another teretz that the Chedusha Rim gives. The Pasuk says, V'ashtei as the Chodesh, on the 11th month, which is Chodesh Shvat, V'yom Rishon, the first day of the month, Hoyel Moshe bears the Torah Azois. That's the day that Moshe Rabbeinu took the Torah to a new level. Till then, Moshe Rabbeinu just taught us what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do. That day, we started learning B'iyim. The Gemara says the Chedush HaRim, in many places in Shas, that really Beis Shammai were mechudodim, were sharper than Beis Hillel. So Rosh Chodesh Shvat, which is the anniversary of learning Torah B'iyin, is a very special day to Beis Shammai. Be'eche B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon, Kedivrei Beis Shammai. That's an important day to Beis Shammai. Another teretz that I saw, also interesting teretz. Because they ask another question. How can Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have a machloikis? Are they arguing over a metzias? You know, they're arguing what's considered last year's and what's this year's. So how could they argue this way? So I saw that if we want to analyze, Rav Zevin does this in the Sefer Lora HaLocha, if you want to analyze the machloikis Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel throughout Shas, there's a common thread in their machloikis. Beis Shammai always looks at the root, the cause of something, and Beis Hillel looks at the results. On Rosh Chodesh Shvat is when the new fruit, the new tree starts to develop, but isn't quite developed. When is it really developed? It's developed on Tu B'Shvat. So according to Beis Shammai, Lishitosom, what do we follow? We follow when things begin. We follow the cause. So Rosh Chodesh Ilan is Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Kedivrei Beis Shammai, like Beis Shammai say throughout Shas. Beis Hillel, they look at the when it's actually happening, followed Tu B'Shvat. So
should
also? So once we say Kedivrei Beis Shammai, it's obvious it's Kedivrei Beis Hillel. Another, now, the Mefarshim point out, the place can point out, since our Mishnah is comparing Tu B'Shvat to Rosh Chodesh Shvat, that's how the halach is, that in Tu B'Shvat we treat it like Rosh Chodesh Shvat. We don't say Tachnun, we don't fast, because the Gemara is comparing these two dates. There's a famous verse from B'nai Yisoschar on this Mishnah. He says that the Mishnah shouldn't have said Le'ilon. It should have said Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon Nois. What does it say Le'ilon? One tree. So he says that we know that in our religion, which is the most important tree? The Esrog tree, because we use it for a mitzvah. The Mishnah is teaching us on Tu B'Shvat Li'ilon, have in mind your Esrog, and that's why he says that if you want to have a nice Esrog, on Tu B'Shvat, be mispal that you should have a nice Esrog, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you a nice Esrog. Ask the Gemara. The first din we learned in the Mishnah was that Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is Rosh Hashanah L'Mlochem. Ask the Gemara L'mai Hilchasa. Does Machloikis Rashi and Ran how to understand this question of L'mai Hilchasa? Rashi says L'mai Hilchasa, the Gemara wants to know what's the reason that we had to establish a date for Rosh Hashanah L'Mlochem. According to the Ran, the Gemara's question is, what's the practical nafkamina in understanding that we have a date? So before we give the Gemara's answer, we need to say a word of introduction. When one borrows money from someone else, Reuven borrows money from Shimon, and he writes a shtar. Reuven writes to Shimon, I owe you whatever I borrowed. What happens at that point is that all of Reuven's property becomes mortgaged to Shimon, which means that if the next day after this note is written, Reuven sells his property, and then when Shimon comes to collect his debt, Reuven says, I have nothing, and he truly has nothing, Shimon has the right to go to that property because it was mortgaged, it was in Reuven's possession, and it was mortgaged to Shimon before it was sold. So therefore, the date of a shtar becomes a very crucial element in the shtar. So you could have two situations. You could have a post-dated shtar, that let's say Reuven borrowed the money in Rosh Chodesh Kislev, but he only wrote the date of Rosh Chodesh Shvat. That really works against him, because if he sells any, that only works against Shimon, because if he sells the property between now and between Rosh Chodesh Kislev and Rosh Chodesh Shvat, it's to his detriment. So that's a fine shtar. But you could have a predated shtar. The loan took place on Rosh Chodesh Kislev, but he'll write Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. Now, any property that was sold during that month, the person who bought the property, if he would have done a title search, would have seen there's no mortgage on this property. But now, by writing this shtar, he has put the person who bought that property at an unfair position. So a predated shtar, shtar ha-mugdam, is possible. Says the Gemara, the reason we need to write the date is l'shtaris, the tanan. Shtari chayv ha-mugdamim, we just explained, a predated shtar is possible. Ha-mukharim, a postdated shtar, is k'sherim. So Rashi explains the situation this way. There's a shtar written. And Rashi uses this example. We'll follow Rashi's example. The shtar says there was a loan that took place in Kislev of the third year of the king's monarchy. Everybody admits that the loan did not take place in Kislev. They say the loan took place in Tammuz. And the Mefarshim right away, there's a Yerushalmi about to say, how could the Edom say that? If they're saying that the loan took place in Tammuz, and there's a shtar that says that it took place in Kislev, so they're saying that they're liars. They signed a shtar that the loan took place in Kislev when it actually took place in Tammuz. So Yerushalmi answers, a very interesting teretz, the Yerushalmi says that the date is not a crucial element in the shtar. By saying that you didn't pay attention to the date, doesn't mean that you're a Rasha. Because the person, when he pays attention to the shtar, pays attention to the transaction. Reuven borrowed from Shimon, the number, not the date. People don't pay attention to that. The Rashba is very bothered with that teretz. He says, a date, as we just finished explaining, is such a crucial element. How can we say that it's not something an aide has to pay attention to? So that's what the Rashba says, that we're dealing, the Gemara Masechta Ksubos talks about this a lot, that this shtar, why is the shtar valid? Because the Edom make it valid. So we have a situation, Pesha also Pesha Itter. Without the Edom, we don't have a shtar, so that's why we have to trust them when they say that the loan, even though it says Kislev, took place in Tammuz. But now, if every king, goes on Rashi to explain, if every king's date would be based on when he actually became king, on the anniversary of his assumption of his monarchy, so we could have a confusion. Sometimes Kislev could be before Tammuz, and sometimes Kislev could be after Tammuz, depending on when the king assumed his kingdom. Let's explain. If the king accepted his monarchy sometime between Tammuz and Kislev, so the, let's say he began being king on Cheshvan. So then we have Cheshvan is when he became king, and Kislev comes before Tammuz. If on the other hand he became king sometime between Kislev and Tammuz, so then Kislev comes after Tammuz. So it's, says Rashi, we don't always remember when the king became king. So in order to have a uniform date, to avoid this kind of confusion, Chazal told us, no matter what, when Rosh Chodesh Nissan comes, a new year begins. And like that, we always know that Tammuz comes before Kislev, and there's no room for confusion. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos asks many questions on Rashi. Tosfos, first of all, says that who doesn't remember when the king became king? It's not such a hard thing to remember. Moreover, Tosfos says, from Rashi it seems that such a shtar that is only acceptable because the Edom could really verify that this loan that's written in Kislev actually took place in Tammuz. He says, from Rashi it seems that otherwise the loan, the shtar, would be useless. And Tosfos is not exactly clear on the status of the shtar. That's why Tosfos learns a different pshat in the Gemara. Tosfos says, people make a mistake with one day. But making a mistake with one day in this situation can have very, very serious ramifications. In other words, says Tosfos, let's say the king became king on Chaf Hei Kislev. So on Chaf Hei Kislev begins the third year. If a person makes a mistake and forgets it wasn't Chaf Hei Kislev, he writes Chaf Dal Kislev. It's not just a day difference, it's a year difference. And that could affect the entire validity of the shtar. So because people make a mistake of a day, Chazal made one uniform day to avoid that kind of a problem. Tosfos says, if that's the concern, then it's also only one day between Chof Tes Adar and Aleph Nisan. So people make a mistake, so what have we accomplished by making Aleph Nisan the uniform day? So Tosfos says, between different days that don't really have any special significance, people can make a mistake. But given that Rosh Chodesh Nisan, after we learn our Mishnah, has the significance that this is the day, people will not make that error. There's another Machlokes Rashi in Tosfos. If we have a shtar in front of us that we know is unacceptable because the date doesn't match when the actual loan took place, what is the status of the shtar? That means everybody agrees that that shtar cannot be used to collect mortgaged properties because the shtar has a problem. But is the shtar totally disqualified, or is it only disqualified to the extent that you can't use it to collect from mortgage property? Rashi seems to learn it's only disqualified to the extent that you can't collect from mortgage property. Tosfos seems to learn that it's totally disqualified. Tan Rabban teaches us the Braisa. Melech Shamed Be'esrim V'Tishrei Be'Adar. A king was appointed king on 29 days in Adar. Kivin Shigia Echad B'Nissan. As soon as Rosh Chodesh Nissan comes, also Lashana, that's already considered year one, and now we're up to year two. However, V'Mloy Amed Ela Be'Echad B'Nissan, if he only becomes king on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, then only till next year will he be considered year one, and only next year Rosh Chodesh Nissan will year two begin. So the Gemara analyzes this brisa. Amar Melech Shamed Bet Esrim Tisha B'Adar. If a king becomes king on 29 days in Adar, Kivin Shigia Echad B'Nissan, the next day Rosh Chodesh Nissan, also Lashana. It's considered that 1 year is gone, and we're up to 2 years. Says the Gemara, what is our Mishnah teaching us? What is our Braisa teaching us? Number one, Hokamashmon, the Nissan Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim. The Rosh Chodesh Nissan is the date that we establish where king's monarchy changes to a new year, something we discussed already at length. And Yom Echad B'Shanah Chash V'Shanah. He was only king for 1 day, and it's already considered as if a year passed. The Turi Evan makes two observations in this Gemara. He says, and we'll learn this later in the Masechta Mitzvah Hashem, there's a machlokes Ramei and Rebbe Lezer, if one day in a year is considered a year. Rebbe Lezer, that's what Ramei holds. Rebbe Lezer holds that you have to have a minimum of 30 days to be considered a year. Says the Turi Evan, that machlokes is only regarding Dinei Doraisa. But here we're talking about the Din de Rabbanon of Shtaris. Even Rebbe Lezer will agree that Yom Echad B'Shana Choshev Shana. The other observation the Turi Evan makes in this Gemara is that Adar, that's before Nisan. Sometimes we have two others. But the other that's before Nisan is always only 29 days. not 30 days. Otherwise, the Gemara wouldn't have used Chavtes Adar. The Gemara could have said Lamed Adar. It must be there is no such a thing as Lamed Adar. Vimlai Amr El Bechav Nissan. The Mishnah, the Braisa continued teaching us that if he was only appointed in Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Ein Mayon Lashana, he's not considered a king. Ad Shigia Nissan Acher. Ask the Gemara, obviously, Pshita. Nissan is the cutoff, Rosh Chodesh Nissan is the cutoff date. Answers the Gemara, Letzricha de Imna Lema Adar. He was already appointed in Adar, but he didn't actually assume the monarchy. Matatayman Nimlai Tatnishnin. That we should not follow the time where he actually takes position. We should follow the time when he's elected. We don't follow the election. We follow the time when he actually assumes the kingdom. Taner Rabbana, another braisa. Meis ba'adar. If the king died in Adar, v'amin achter tachta ba'adar. And another king was appointed in Adar. Says the Gemara, Moinim shana l'zeh l'zeh. That year can be counted either to the first king, or it can be counted to the second king, because they both shared that year. So any way you write the shtar will be acceptable. Another halacha, meis benissen, if the king died benissen, va'amar acher tachta benissen, and another king was appointed in Nissen, again, mein inshallah zelazeh, that year can be counted for either king. Meis ba'adar, if he died in Adar, the first king died in Adar, va'amar acher tachta benissen, and the new king was only appointed in Nissen, here the halacha is, the first year is for the first king, and the second year is for the second king. And now the Gemara goes into analyze each one of the dinim that we just learned. Amamar, Meis ba'adar, we learned that the king died in Adar, v'amen achav tachta ba'adar, and now a new king was appointed in Adar. So we said that year could be counted, minim shana l'zeh l'zeh. We could count that year for either king. Asked the Mar Pshita, of course. They were both kings and other, so that year is for both of them. Answers the Gemara, Madatayim is Shatel Beitrei Loimaninen. You can't use the same year for two different kings. Kamashmon, that the same year can be used for two different kings. Asked the Mepharshim, Taisus makes a very general observation to this Brisa. This Brisa, Taisus says, is not a new Brisa. It's a continuation of the previous Brisa. And in the previous Brisa, we already learned, Yom Echad B'Shana Chosh B'Shana. So why do I need to learn it again? So Mepharsh would say a beautiful teretz. In the previous Brisa, we discussed a case where the new king was appointed in Chavtes Adar. So we said, the next day, Rosh Chodesh Nissan begins year two. But it could well be that entire year, there was no other king. The new king was appointed in Chavtes Adar. Until Chavtes Adar, there was no king. That Brisa doesn't teach us a case where there were two kings in one year. We need this Brisa to teach us that even in a case where there are two kings in a year, that year can be counted for either of them. There's an interesting Yerushalmi that Ritva quotes. He says that even though our Gemara just taught us that let's say both of them were kings in Adar, so we could count that year for both of them, that's only if the second king made it into Nisan of the next year. But let's say the second king was appointed in Adar. And not only was he appointed in Adar, he never made it to Nisan. So that monarchy is so insignificant, says the Yerushalmi, that the Ritva quotes, that year we only count for the first king, not for the second king. The Rashba disagrees. The Rashba says if there was such a distinction, Al Gemara should have said it. The fact that Al Gemara doesn't say it, it's a proof that that's not the halacha. There's another shaila. Let's say the new king was appointed on Tezvav Adar. He was appointed on Tezvav Adar. You and I had done a transaction. Let's not say a loan, because we get to loans, we have problems with the dates. Let's say you and I had done some sort of a transaction, and we didn't have a chance to commemorate it to a writing, and we only get a chance to write it, so we did the transaction, let's say Yud Adar. But we only write the Shtar Tezvav Adar. Should we write the name of the second king? Because when the transaction took place, he wasn't king yet. But on the other hand, the Gemara is saying that once he becomes king, that whole year is considered his. So Machlaikis, if we could commit a paper to use him as king to transaction that took place before he was ever appointed king. Continues the Gemara. The Braisa taught us, Neis ben Nisan, Vaman Acha Tachta ben Nisan, that the first king died in Nisan, and now a new king was appointed in Nisan, the Halacha is Manin Shalom Zelazeh. This year is counted for both of them. Ask the Gemara Pshita, obviously. Answers the Gemara, Ma d'tayma. We might have said, Ki amrinu yoymech b'shana chash b'shana. When do we consider one day, a whole year? B'slav shana, at the end of the year. Ah, b'tchil shana lo yamrinin, but at the beginning of the year, not, k'mash b'lan. So Mepharshim, Taisus attempts to explain it, but Mepharshim try to understand, if yoymech b'shana is chash b'shana, what's the difference at the beginning of the year or at the end of the year? So I saw a very nice Sifsei Chacham that explains this. Sifsei Chacham explains, and it's very much based on human nature. He says, you know, when a new king becomes king, he comes in with all sorts of plans and all sorts of programs. An old king who's been king a long time, he's already, you know, not that excited. So the Gemara that we had before was when he appointed the new king a Chavtes Adar. So he's only king for one day. But that day was his first day of ruling. He comes in all excited with all his new programs. So that's why we could say Yoymech B'Shana Chash B'Shana. Here we're discussing a king where the old king died at the beginning of Nisan. So he was an old king, and he was only king for a short amount of time in Nisan. So it's unlikely that he did anything significant in that short amount of time. Teaches us the Gemara that every day you're king, and every day you're alive, is a significant day and you can accomplish, even if you're old and you're tired and you had the job a long time. The Mepharshim ask an interesting question, halacha question. Let's say the old king died in another. And the new king, it takes time to get a new king. The new king was only appointed, let's say, in Iyar Sivan. So what happens to Rosh Chodesh Nisan? What do you count? You can't count it to the old king. It's not a year that he was king. You can't count it yet to the new king. There's no new king. What do you do? So I saw it's Machlaikis HaMepharshim. Some Mepharshim say that until the new king is appointed, we count it on the old king, even though he's not even alive this year at all. Other Mepharshim say that under such circumstances, we don't use the date of the king in the shtar, we use the date of what year it is to the Labrius Island, to the creation of the world. The next case we learned was Meis ba'Adar. If the old king died in Adar, Vamer Achatacht of another, and the new king was appointed in Adar, Minor Mishayna L'Rishon, Vamer Achatacht of Nisan, and the new king was appointed in Nisan, Minor Mishayna L'Rishon, the old Adar is for the old king, B'Shnei L'Shem. Says the Gemara Pshita, that's obvious. He was king in Adar, and he was king in Nisan. And Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, as we've been learning so many times today, is the cutoff date. Answers the Gemara Lo Tzricha, Demnolam Adar. He was appointed in Adar, and not only was he appointed in Adar, he has another thing working in his favor. Melech Bemelechu, he's also the son of the previous king. So I would say, since he has so much working in his favor, he was already elected, and he's also a son. Maybe under these circumstances, that we should start counting this year already from Adar for him, that we don't follow election, and we don't follow Yerusha. What do we follow? We follow when he actually takes office. And the Chasam Sofer uses this Gemara for a interesting psak halacha. He says, even though we know the halacha is that a king's son takes precedence in Yerusha, even with all of that, the lesson of our Gemara is that until he actually takes office, he could have Yerusha. Yerusha doesn't make that much of a difference. That's why he says, based on this, a very interesting Shaila, what is the halacha about a son of a Rav taking over automatically his father's position? From here we see that doesn't go automatically. A king with a Torah speaks about should take over, his benoi should take over. It doesn't, our Gemara teaches, go so easy. It has to be that he's formally appointed and takes office. Certainly by a rabbonis, which depends on his qualifications and learning and leadership, it doesn't go automatically. Which is really an interesting shaila that the Paiskim discuss. What is the position of a son taking over his father's position in rabbonis? It's a famous machlokes. There are a lot of tshuvas about this. The Rivash and others say that a son does have a din Yerusha. The Divrei Chaim, interestingly, says that he doesn't have Yerusha rights. He has preference rights. We should look at him first, but not that it automatically goes to him. Moreover, Davni Nezer says that if we're going to use Rabbonis, if we're going to use Melucha as a model for Rabbonis, And just like by Melucha, a son inherits his father, succeeds his father, so too by Rabbanis, says the Avni Nezer, what does the Torah say when a king is appointed? It has to be Bekerev Kol Yisrael, that all of Klal Yisrael is willing to accept him. Says the Avni Nezer, if Klal Yisrael, the Kehillah, the community, is not willing to accept the Rav's son, so it's certainly not a situation of Kerev Kol Yisrael, and he doesn't automatically get the Yerusha. Moreover, the Pais can discuss what is the status of a son-in-law, and there most Pais can say that since a son-in-law's entire rights are based on his wife, and a daughter doesn't Yarshin, so son-in-law's rights, there's certainly no Dina Yerusha on a son-in-law taking over his father-in-law's Rabbonis. However, for the record, there are two other approaches to this Gemara. The Night of Yehuda approach to the Gemara is very different than the Chassam Sofer. He says that certainly a king's son has very strong Yerusha rights, and he's really king as soon as he inherits his father. However, says the Night of Yehuda, only regarding this specific din of shtaris that Chazal teach us that until he actually takes office, it's not considered that he's king. But for all other dinim, Yerusha is a very powerful tool, certainly in Melucha. The Chasdei David has another pshat to the Gemara. He's saying that we're dealing with a situation where there are a number of sons and no Bechor. So there, we Taka can't really say that he's king until he actually takes office, because there are a number of brothers. Who says this brother is more than the other brother? However, says the Chasdei David, in a situation where there's only one son and he's going to take over, could be, says the Chasdei David, that if he was elected an other and he's his only son, we would count his melucha from Adar, even though he doesn't take office till Nisan. He's right.